So we're taking this year, this liturgical year from the start of this December to the end of next November, going to take time to look through Romans. And so today we're in Romans, first chapter, verses 16 and 17, two verses today. I invite you to have your Bibles open to Romans 1 and read along as I read aloud. And may you hear the word that God has for you this day. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that's by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we had our children's Christmas program last Sunday. Wonderful occasion. Hope you were here for it. If not, there's always next year. So it's been a couple of weeks now since we last heard from Paul in Romans. So just by way of review, Paul has reminded us that we are more than servants. We who believe now belong to God, having been purchased by Christ and brought into God's household by faith. It's good to belong to God, bound by blood. All the other options are rather terrifying so far as other things and other people we might belong to. It's best to belong to God. Every other lord, including that angry little idol self, is a vicious slave driver. Paul has also shared his deep gratitude for his fellow believers, his fellow slaves, and tells them he's always praying for them and giving thanks for them. That's a very good way for each of us to approach every brother and sister in Christ. Less reserve, more regard. But today, we hear about power. So, a few years back, a neighbor offered us the use of a golf cart like everyone tools around in there in Columbia Lakes. We were grateful. All four of us piled in. This is before Chloe. All four of us piled in. What fun! I made sure the tires are properly inflated. I was told the battery was fully charged, although it had sat around unused for quite some time. So I probably should have looked into that part a little more closely and carefully, because when the golf cart died on us on the golf cart path on the far side of the subdivision, it was a little inconvenient to have to push it all the way back. And yes, about halfway we got an assist from some guys in a truck. Thank God for guys in trucks, right? That day, I got a laborious reminder of what no power means. And I still remember. There's got to be a better way. I'm sure there was. I just didn't know what it was. So two Sundays back, I spoke about vitality, the quality of empowered discipleship. With God is resurrection power. All who belong to Christ are richly empowered. Paul speaks of the good news as power, God's power that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Power is for work. Power gets things done. No power means no work, no ability, no progress, just stuck. I suppose we've all been through a just stuck period in our lives, not knowing how to make things different. We realize change is necessary in outward circumstances, externals, but also probably some change is needed internally. Salvation, faith, Christ, power changes us. We do not cause this change or even will this change. The change, the difference, the power comes to us. It's a gift, revelation, breath, light. At this time of year, we keep reminding ourselves of the one gift that really matters. I'm going to tell you, this is an unscripted moment, so we'll see how it goes, that this year, and you've had these years too, my heart just hasn't been in it as much. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, but I think God's at work somehow or other. I don't really care if I get any presents this year, you know? I don't need anything at this point in life. I'm sure I'll get something and I'll be okay and I'll show gratitude because I am glad for it. But what God's probably trying to get me to remember above all is the one gift that really matters and that I already have it. So if you're just not quite feeling it this Christmas too, A, let's commiserate together. But B, think about what God might be trying to tell you through that. There's only one gift that really matters, and you already have it. Salvation, the good news, reminds us is Christ, who is power for change. Where Christ is, there is hope. Often, when we're feeling stuck, it's because hope is stuck. The 121st Psalm sets the scene perfectly. I lift my eyes to the hills. Well, if I'm lifting my eyes to the hills, that means I'm down in the valley. And the one valley Scripture knows so well is the valley of the shadow of death. And death? Death is the wages of sin, what sin gets us. All sin will get us in the end is nowhere. Nowhere we want to be, stuck, no power. Hopefully, if by grace we've come to our senses, we're looking around for real help. And if we're really seeking, we will find. It's a promise. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. The biblical witness regularly interprets reversals and disasters as consequences of the sin all around us and of our own sins. God disregarding choices, catching up with us. To disregard God is not always to reject or defy God. To disregard God in our decision-making, more often, mostly, means not consulting God at all. Why bother to consult God at all? Not seeing any reason to. Or just assuming that whatever we want to do, whatever we choose to do, is okay with God anyway. Why wouldn't it be? God is love, right? And love means that no matter what I do to myself, you, or to others, you'll always take me back, right? Love means I do my thing and you don't criticize me, right? When we know that we'll hear, don't do that, and we want to do that, well, just don't even bother to ask or mention it. Disregarding God is not really so difficult, as we know, to our sorrow. Our need for salvation, restoration, blessing, and help never really goes away. Salvation, power for change, comes to us in Christ. Sickness can leave us weak. Recovering from an injury or surgery can take months or even longer. And recovering does not mean we were just like we were before, does it? The wear and tear of life depletes us, not just physically, but mentally, morally, and yes, spiritually. As the broadcast news batters us, we may come away with the impression that we are not in a time of cooperation, but of conflict, where the very idea of cooperation, let alone compromise, is cowardice. Constant conflict does nothing to build anyone up. All constant conflict does is leave ruins where prosperity had been, hopelessness where there had been a sense of possibility. Conflict produces frustration, anger, and despair. And who benefits from that? And the answer isn't nobody. Every 2 years, we're told on every side without relief that real, meaningful change will come once we put the other political party back in power. power, back in control. You know, the sane people who care so very deeply for you and for me. Beloved, the change you and I and everyone genuinely needs will not come with a new administration or with the glorious and tragically overdue return to ascendancy of the other political party. The trouble runs much deeper than these surface features. The trouble, as Paul goes on to identify, we'll get there, is a root godlessness that has been around as long as the fall. The basic problem with which each human being must contend is wandering lost in a fallen world. We come up against that frustration, the frustrations of fruitlessness in this life often enough, all the time, all too often. Job, Ecclesiastes, and so many Psalms are giving voice to what we already know and feel so well, the fruitlessness. We try so hard, and what does it get us? Where does it get us? Every man, woman, and child stands in need of salvation, rescue from our lost wandering through this fallen world. Without this salvation, the end result of wandering lost in a fallen world is set to be under God's wrath and curse and to come under God's judgment on the appointed day. Several times, Scripture reminds us that all will be judged upon what they have done. That's not a judgment under which I want to come. I am not a good person. My good deeds do not outweigh my bad choices, not by a long shot. Lost is not necessarily not knowing the way out, though it can be that. Lost, maybe more often, is not wanting the way out that God offers. It's like standing there with seven doors before you, only one of which will get you to truth, reality, love, and life. A one in seven chance is not very encouraging odds, 14%. And even if by grace one happens to open the right door, which really means it's been opened for you, it may still be the case that what one sees on the other side of that door, the revealed side, holds no great attraction. Oh. People know there are churches, congregations, all sorts of them, all over the place. People know there's a Bible. People know about Jesus. No strong attraction. They neither want nor value the offered way. They may say this and that once in a while, but there's no movement. They're stuck. Salvation is God opening the door from his side, breaking through, tearing through, as Mark puts it when he describes God acting at the baptism of Jesus, tearing through to get to us. Jesus is the salvation power of God. Jesus is the one who, by taking upon himself all God's wrath against sin, his curse upon sin, provides rescue for those who cling to Christ as to a life raft. Salvation comes to all and for all who believe. Salvation requires faith. Faith is the key that opens the door. So how to get to this salvation then? How to obtain this faith? They're given. God breaking through to us, demolishing the wall between us. He calls to us, come with me if you want to live. At Christmas, the angels were calling to the shepherds. The star was calling to the wise men. Come, come and see, come and know, come and wonder, come and worship. We need ears to hear, eyes to see, legs to help us to stand and to walk. All these are gifts, gifts of Christ through the Spirit. Salvation brings with him all that is necessary for us to receive salvation and benefit from it. We love opening those presents. We wait for it all year, and it's a happy time. Enjoy it, rejoice in it, be glad in it. And remember also to enjoy the one who gives you everything. as we're reminded, maybe not often enough, we can't take any of our stuff with us, but we can have Jesus with us always. What Jesus offers is simple and sufficient. We hear so much about complexity and complicated. Oh, it's complicated. It's so complex out there. What Jesus offers is simple and sufficient. And life begins to change for us when we begin to realize the simplicity and sufficiency of Christ. There is joy in receiving what is joyfully given. With salvation, there are no prerequisites for receiving. The main problem in the earliest years of the church is not really a problem for us at all now. In the early decades of the church, Christianity was largely regarded as a sect of Judaism. It was what some Jews were doing. Gentiles could participate, certainly, provided they became Jews and lived like Jews. Salvation, in other words, was only for the Jews. And every Jew knew that being a Jew meant keeping all the law, living the commandments of God completely. And every Jew knew that was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Paul reminds us that salvation actually is for all, for everyone. Everyone and anyone. Anyone who will receive the good news as the joyful treasure from God that it is. The salvation of the righteous is not in keeping and performing a list of rules, but in living the faith God gives. Faith saves us by changing us, drawing us into holiness. That's the change we all really need. The real change we all really need. Holiness in our lives. Holiness was the heart of the law, the vital pulse of the law, God's word. What mattered about the law was not so much that it pointed to all that was to be regarded as sinful. Don't eat this, don't do that, don't live that way. What mattered most about the law was its aim always to keep before God's people the importance of holiness. There is a way God wants us to live. To be holy meant to do God's will, to live in such a way that your will became patterned more and more after God's will and more reflected God's will. Not the will, ways, customs, and values of the time and place, the society and culture then in ascendancy, but God's will given to us in God's word. And God's word is Christ Jesus, power, salvation power, power for change, who came to live with us and in us by faith, faith that looks like something. Holiness was and remains a matter of whose lordship our lives demonstrate. And we know holiness is a lifelong labor. Remember the joy of the labor and the peace that comes. I remember one time down my basement back in Portland, Oregon, growing up, my father was chopping firewood down there. So that's an interesting thing with the low clearance, but he was doing it. And he was just chopping away. And I was sitting there watching him being with Dad, and he told me at one point that sometimes it's good just to work, not engage. Your mind's doing other things. You gain finding peace in the labor. There's joy in the labor, the joy of the peace that comes as you labor without belaboring what you're doing with thinking. Trust the guidance of the Spirit, the intuition to follow as the Spirit guides you and experience the joy of the labor and the peace that comes as you labor. It's a lifelong labor. Find the joy in it. To everyone who believes, that was the scandal and the stumbling block. Everyone means just that. No prior qualifications or prerequisite accomplishments. Salvation was not like getting into Harvard or the Air Force Academy. If you don't have the record of accomplishments, if you don't have the endorsements from powerful, connected people, forget it. Salvation was not like getting that choice job or trophy mate or having what it takes to buy the Mercedes or live in River Oaks or even just Bel Air. Salvation was unlike anything we'd been taught to compete for, train ourselves for, or desire. We could not merit, earn, or even desire God's salvation. It's purely, perfectly, entirely a gift. It is God who opens and causes people to receive the gift, value the gift, and give thanks for the gift. Paul understood that very well. Before Christ called him, Paul, Saul, at the time, had lived to be elite, the best. He'd formerly delighted in comparing himself favorably to the riffraff he encountered all around him, the freaks, fools, and failures. By his lineage, but mostly his education, his superior intelligence and insight, his will, his choice, his singular devotion, he'd proven his worth. And everyone around him said so. But no achievement, no accomplishment, no medal or diploma could qualify him for salvation. He did not have that ability. He did not have that power. He did not have that holiness. It had to be given, and it is because it is love. The gospel, God's love, is power, true power, real power. Salvation is not in the color of one's skin. It's not a matter of one's sex. It is not in one's place of birth, native language, or ancestry. It's not in one's political preference, personal values, so tender heart, or presumed intelligence. The power of salvation is not the reward for one's record, one's character, quite the opposite. So what then is the power of salvation? What is the power of the gospel? The power is the righteousness of God. God's righteousness, God's character, God's nature given to us in Christ. Salvation is in relationship, vital relationship with God who has the power to save, to give life abundantly, eternally. In Jesus, God offers us his own righteousness in place of our sinfulness, his own perfection in place of our brokenness, his healing in place of our hurt, his purpose in place of our wandering lost down one wearying, worthless way after another. Righteousness is revealed. God has to show us or we'll never see. Revealed means God must open our eyes because we're blind to it otherwise. God only can give all these blessings, and God gives. We access the blessings of righteousness through faith, a righteousness that's by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. By trusting God's word, valuing God's promise, desiring God, what God only can give, and then living like people who trust, value, and desire God. We receive what God offers when we want what God offers. And we say, well, who wouldn't want what God offers? And then we go out there and we look around. Salvation is a free gift, indeed, the costliest free gift that ever was or could be. And the free gift received will change us, the way a seed begins to change as it receives the light, the air, the water, the warmth, as it's in the good soil. Salvation, grace, faith, Christ, these work together to remake, to restore us into who God means for us to be. So I say, and we sing, O come, Emmanuel, live in our hearts and be our Lord today and all days.